Good morning.
All right, thank you, Marvin. So we will get started today. And I've been in the Psalms this morning in a couple of places and realized that also last week during worship time, we spent some time in the Psalms, whether we realized it or not, primarily when we sang As the Deer, also with I Exalt You. And for As the Deer in particular, there are a couple of psalms that are highlighted in that song. The first and most obvious is in Psalm 42, where the first verse says, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs for you, O God." And also in Psalm 28 and verse 7, it reads, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him." And I have been struck this week by a couple of things. One thing in particular for me that may seem small, but feels very big. And other things just happening in the world and in our nation. For example, the extreme cold temperatures that many of our brothers and sisters in the South and in the Western states who don't usually get that kind of cold are dealing with, and having lots of crazy fallout from, you know, people going without power for weeks, days, hopefully not weeks, people without water, hospitals without water to care for patients. So these things, in addition to COVID and all the other things that have been happening, feel very big. And so I'm thinking about things that are small or seem small, but that feel big, and things that are big that feel big. But I was encouraged this morning in remembering a song that I heard many years ago and that we're going to sing together today, that is called Be Magnified. And as I read this morning in the verse that just happened to come up in my journal, it was Psalm 69 and verse 30, which says, "I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving." And I'm just thinking about this idea of magnifying God. Not that we're making him bigger than he is, but for me, it's reminding myself that he, in fact, is bigger than all of these things. The things that I think are small, but that feel very big. The things that actually are very big. He's bigger than all of them. And so we'll start by singing As the Deer together. Just the first verse and the chorus, just to remind us through song that God is indeed our strength and our shield, and that we are called to pant for him as a deer running through the forest gets so thirsty that they're literally panting for water. That is how much we are to, and we in fact need to, desire God. And then I'll read a short passage from the writer of the next song that we'll sing, which is called Be Magnified. And it's, again, just a reminder about the bigness of our God. That is not grammatically correct, but I don't care. Just my page.
Desire and
And I don't know what the things are for you that you can sometimes tend to pant after that aren't God. For me, sometimes it's sugar. It's sweets. And so that is the thing that, you know, is a relatively small thing, but for me sometimes feels really big that, you know, when I am stressed or sad or happy or excited, I tend to turn to sweets. And God is calling me in this season to put that down and to turn to Him. And so I invite you to think about, you know, what it may be for you that you tend to turn to instead of God, before God. And you may not have thought about it in that way before, but, you know, just something to ponder. But in light of all of the very big things that have been happening around us, I want to read this quote from Don Moen, who is the author, the composer, the writer of the next song that we'll sing this morning. And he said, "Tough times and the storms of life don't diminish the reality of God's presence. Darkness will fall, clouds will gather, shadows will come, but our faith and our confidence in Him need never be shaken. Let us focus this morning and in the days and weeks and months to come on the fact that God is bigger. God is bigger than COVID-19. God is bigger than ice storms in Texas. God is bigger than many days without power and water. God is bigger than illnesses that we or our family members may be suffering from. God is bigger than all of these things. And our charge and our invitation, as we read in Psalm 69 this morning, is to follow the example of David, who at the beginning of that psalm, and let me just read it for us, he starts off Psalm 69. With these words, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God." And some of us may be feeling that way this morning. But again, in verse 30, towards the end of this psalm, he says, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving." And so that's what we're going to do in our time together in musical worship this morning, is we're going to sing this song to remind us that God is bigger and that we have the choice when we are faced with these big things to remember and to magnify God, for He is bigger and He is able to be with us and to bring us through anything that may come up against us. And I like that David says he will magnify Him with thanksgiving. And so it is in our remembering of the things that God has done and the things that God is doing, even in the midst of these storms, that we can magnify Him in our hearts and in our minds and even in the hearing of those around us.
Lord, be magnified. Be magnified, O Lord. You are highly exalted, and there is nothing you can't do, O Lord. My eyes are on you. Be magnified, O Lord, be magnified. I have leaned on the wisdom of men, O Lord. Forgive me, and I have responded to them instead of your light and your mercy. But now, O Lord, I see. Be magnified, O Lord. You are highly exalted, and there is nothing you can do, O Lord. My eyes are be magnified, O Lord, be magnified.
Let's sing that chorus again. I invite you to sing with me.
Be magnified, O Lord. You are high. Be magnified, O Lord, be magnified, O Lord, be magnified, O Lord, be magnified. Thank you. I just want to take a little time right now and thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. I just want to take a little time right now and thank you, Lord, for all opportunities and the experiences and the things that you've set before us, and for the temptations that we recognize, oh God, that sometimes feel bigger than you, and for the things that are happening in our world that often feel bigger than you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity in your presence to be reminded that you call us to magnify you, for you indeed are bigger than our biggest temptations, than our biggest storms, than our biggest trials, than the things that feel huge and impossible. You are bigger, and there is nothing that is impossible with you. And so, Father, we acknowledge you in your greatness this morning. We proclaim our praise and our worship and our thanksgiving to you. And thank you that today and in the days ahead, you shall be magnified as we keep our minds and our eyes and our spirits and our hearts fixed on you, not focused on the storms and the seas around us that are surging, but at peace, knowing that you are with us. Please have your way in, around us, and through us, and continue to lead us as we share in this time together with you. In Jesus' name.
Thank Lady Rochelle so much for leading us in worship this morning. And family, it is just so great to be with you. For all of those who are meeting BK for the first time, welcome. Welcome to the family. This is a time where we're going to have something called the Love Assault. And we know that in the world, people are assaulted with many, many things. But we want to assault each other or love on each other. So I'm going to invite you to go to a session called networking. And this just allows for a quick 2-minute conversation with people to meet each other. If we were in person, this is what we would be doing. So it's not time for a long conversation, but just a small one. So you can go to your tab that says networking. And it'll ask you to share your audio and video. You can give permission for that and be connected with someone. It is just great to be with you. So go there and come back here 11 11:32, 11:35. just go there and come back here, and we'll be together. And please greet each other. Please greet each other. You don't have to be perfect. Everything doesn't have to be done up. But just go ahead to networking now and greet each other. God bless you. Good day, family. Good day. I see you're coming back into the room. All right. So, and I also see there are some fruitful introductions. Okay. Good, good, good. I'm grateful that you're getting a chance to talk with each other and to meet each other. So this is great. All right, the rest of y'all back? I see Steve is back. Are the rest of you back now? Okay. For those who I'm meeting for the first time, my name is Orlando Yarbrough. Can't hear me. Okay, can you hear me now? Am I coming through? Let's see. Okay, now you can hear me. All right. Thank you. All right, Melody's back. Okay, great. For those of you who I'm meeting for the first time, we're meeting, just welcome again to the Black Church of Yale. Welcome to BK. I am Orlando Yarbrough, and I just have the privilege and the pleasure to be a part of the dynamic team and group that is here. It is great to be with you, and I do hope you introduce yourself to one another, introduce yourself into the chat. Family, continue to love on each other. I am looking forward to our time together today, and just going to jump into it. We're reading a couple of texts. The first is the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. The 11th chapter, and beginning at the 6th verse. This might be familiar to some of us and new to others, but we find these words: "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Next, I'm going to turn to the book of Mark, his account of the life and story of Jesus, and the 5th chapter, beginning at the 21st verse through the 24th verse, and then verse 35. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. "Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when Jairus saw Jesus, he fell at Jesus' feet and begged Jesus earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." Verse 35, "When Jesus was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?' My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Family, for the time that we have together, I want to speak on the theme, walking by faith. Walking by faith. And from the topic, why bother? Why bother? Let us pray. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be gathered here today. We thank you for so much has happened and since the last time that we gathered. And so we thank you for keeping us and allowing us to be here in this moment. God, I pray and we pray that you would do all that you purpose to do. Let us not leave this time together the same, but let us leave here different. Looking more like you, thinking more like you, speaking more like you, loving more like you, with more of our faith in you. God, I am nothing and I pray that you will silence me. I pray that you will hide me, but that the people may see you and hear all of you. There is nothing good that I have to say, but your word is the word of life. So, Lord, please do all that you purpose to do to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, if we were to think back and even look at the statistics of faith, many people, perhaps even ourselves, come to relationship with God through Jesus Christ out of our specific need in a moment. Fishermen, business owners, brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew responded to their need for a higher purpose and heeded Jesus' call, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew, the tax collector, responded to his need to redeem his life's focus and gain a more reputable daily agenda and followed Jesus. Moses responded to his guilt of murder and went with God in a more divine approach to let God's people go. The Samaritan woman responded to her thirst for validation and her need to recover from failed relationship after failed relationship after failed relationship and evangelized to others to come with her to see this man Jesus who could be the Christ. Jairus, in our opening text, is one of the rulers of the Jewish synagogue. The synagogue was and is integral to Jewish faith, life, culture. Jairus was a man of status, a man of position and power and influence. He was used to, in my imagination, having things work out in his favor. Yet today, Jairus finds himself in a situation he cannot influence his way out of. Have you ever been in such a situation, family, where your credentials don't help you? Your education cannot resolve the conflict. Jairus' situation was of a personal nature. It wasn't professional. It wasn't business. It was personal. In a professional situation, the career may take a hit. In the business situation, the business or the company may take a hit. In a personal situation, I take the hit. Jairus was in a personal situation and taking a hit. It is for this reason that I imagine Jairus came and comes as he does, when he does. You see, the verdict was not out on Jesus, saint or sinner, son of God or son of the devil. There was a lot of debate and aggressive conclusions on either side. For sure, Jesus drew away the limelight and influence from many of the religious leaders of Jairus' day and even our day today, from those who are used to having the attention to themselves. Jairus comes at last minute to Jesus. And Jairus comes publicly to Jesus. Jairus, to protect his identity, could have come to Jesus under the cover of darkness, like Nicodemus. But Jairus ran out of time. His situation would not allow him to wait any longer. But I'm not mad at Jairus, and I think that you probably are not mad at Jairus. In the midnight hour, I've come to Jesus. When I was out of options, I have come to Jesus. When my back was against the wall, I've come to Jesus. When no one else could solve my problem, I've come to Jesus. When my reputation could not help me, I've come to Jesus. How about you? Have you ever had a personal situation that brought you to Jesus? I mean, not a little situation, but a personal situation where you couldn't care whether it got out in public because you needed a solution right away. You called up your prayer partners. You posted on social media. You sent your email out to your contacts. You agreed to others spreading your prayer requests. There is an emergency. There is a crisis. The answer is not in your hand. So you begin to gather and grab hold to faith in order to lead you to a better outcome. I'm talking about walking by faith. The Easton Bible's dictionary says faith is, in general, the persuasion of the mind that a certain statement is true. Its primary idea is trust. A thing is true and therefore worthy of trust. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 reads, as you may recall, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I don't have in my hand what I need. Nonetheless, I believe that it is there. That's faith. Jairus leaves his synagogue. He leaves his home and he comes to Jesus in the midst of a crowd because Jairus is in the midst of a crisis. Mark chapter 5, verse 22, "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw Jesus, Jairus fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him earnestly." Jairus is humble. Isn't it true that life circumstances have a way of humbling us? I just think about all that is happening right now for so many of us today. Humbled by great trouble. Humbled by great success. Either way, I am outside of my ability to control all of the elements of the situation. I'm humbled. Humbled, desperate at Jesus' feet. Jairus begs Jesus in earnest. Jairus begs, he beseeches, he calls to one side. Jairus calls for Jesus' attention to his personal scenario. Because the truth be told, sometimes it seems God is not aware of what's happening with me in the personal spaces of our lives. Have you ever wondered whether God knew about your situation? Have you ever begun a prayer by explaining to God what was going on as if God did not already know? Perhaps because you legitimately thought God would not know what is happening to me because if he knew, he would not allow it. Jairus calls on Jesus to his personal scenario and explains to Jesus what's going on. And Jairus does this in earnest. Earnest. Greatly. Much. Fervently.
And the scripture says, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell down at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. Verse 22, and behold, in Luke's account, this is a Luke's account, Luke shares with us that this is Jairus's only daughter. Now, this makes me think of how I would feel because Hannah is my only daughter. And when it comes to raising daughters, I am undivided in my focus because she is my only one. Do you have one of something? How does it change the way that you interact with God? This is the only academic experience I have. This is the only home that I have. This is the only family that I have. This is the only career that I have. This is the only relationship that I have. This is the only opportunity that I have. This is the only country that I have. This is the only gift that I have. This is the only talent that I have. This is the only money that I have. This is the only friend that I have. There are a couple of things that stand out to me in this story that I will share with you. And the first is Jesus goes with Jairus. Jesus is with you. God is with you. Jesus meets Jairus at the level of Jairus's faith. Jairus reaches out to Jesus in the best way that he knows how. Based on the understanding and faith that Jairus has, he approaches Jesus. And Jesus engages with Jairus right where Jairus is. Jesus begins to physically walk with Jairus. And Jairus, being not just a physical person, Jesus begins a spiritual walk with Jairus. And Jesus begins to walk with Jairus emotionally and mentally. Know that God will walk with you where you genuinely are. No, Jairus did not have the faith of the centurion leader. For when he came to Jesus, he said, Jesus, I'm not worthy that you should even come under my roof. But if you would just say the word, that my servant would be healed. Jairus did not have that kind of faith. But he said, Jesus, my daughter is dying, and I want for you to come with me and to lay hands on her. And Jesus did not reprimand Jairus for his faith, but Jesus met Jairus right where he was, and he began to walk with him right where he was. And I apologize that I might not have as great a faith as some other people, but I thank God that he is willing to meet me right where I am. I don't have to have your faith for God to walk with me. You don't have to have my faith for God to walk with you. God is such a personal God that he will meet you right where you are. And even if some people have greater faith, good for them. But God will meet you earnestly when you call upon his name and you are genuine about where you are. God met Jairus right where he was, and he began to walk with him to his home. And that's the amazing thing about God, is that God meets with us right where we are. And many of us, some of us, began our walk with Jesus in our moment of crisis, asking Jesus to come over to where we are and to join us in where we are heading. Jairus did not discount where he genuinely was in his faith with Jesus, and neither should you. Jesus will walk with you. I'm reminded of John 14:16, where even after Jesus was about to depart, he told us, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Even if Jesus is not physically with you, his spirit is with you. I'm talking about God, Emmanuel, God is with us. The God who said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. The second thing that I want for you to know is that Jesus helping other people does not preclude Jesus helping Jairus and helping you. God remembers you. We stop the text in the 24th verse, but if you were to read down, you will see that Jesus agreed to walk with Jairus to Jairus' house, but then the Bible says that there was a woman with an issue of blood who pressed through the crowd and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment and power flowed out of Jesus to heal her. And Jesus stopped what he was doing and he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And Jairus could have been thinking at that moment, Jesus, I want your attention. I want you to come with me. But one of the things that I get out of this text that I believe God wants for me to share with you is that him helping other people does not preclude his ability to help you. God is an all-sufficient God. In Romans 10, 12, and 13, Paul lets us know that God is rich to all who call upon his name. There is no deficit in God. His mercy is anew every morning. His love is abundant. God can be in your situation and in my situation. I'm so grateful that he is an omnipotent God. He is all powerful. He is an omniscient God. He is an omnipresent God. He can know about your situation and know about my situation too. He can be right here in my home office and he can be with you in yours. He can be in my bedroom and he can be in your room. He can be in my vehicle and he can be in your vehicle. He can be in my country and he can be in your country. He can speak my language and he can speak your language. God can have his eye on me and his eye on you at the same time. He is not limited like man is limited. God is not bound by time and bound by space like I am bound by time and like I am bound by space. But God has the ability to do it for your neighbor and do it for you. So while God is healing you, I'm going to praise God for what he's doing in your life because he gives me a picture of what he can do in mine. I'm not mad at you for getting your healing. I'm not mad at you for getting your deliverance. I'm not mad at anybody for receiving their relief because if God can do it for them, God can do it for me. And he does not run out of his ability to change circumstances. God remembers you. I'm going to praise God for how he is working in your life. And I'm going to keep the faith that God will work in my life. I'm going to be patient. My praise might not be loud, but I'm going to trust that God is doing for you similarly that like he can do for me. And what I will say is, do it, Lord. When you come to me with your prayer request, do it, Lord. While I'm waiting on my promises to come through, God, do it for you, just like I know you will do it for me. God is big enough for the two of us. The third thing that I want for you to know, and the final thing that I want for you to know, that I think God has shown me in Scripture, is that Jesus is just as, if not more, concerned with the status of Jairus' faith and your faith in him as he is with the resolution of Jairus' crisis and concern. Jesus is just as, if not more, concerned with the status of your faith in him as he is with the resolution of your crisis or concern, and God wants to build you up. I will say from the text that God didn't necessarily heal Jairus' daughter for the sake of Jairus' daughter, but he was working on Jairus' faith. If we are to look at the text, Mark chapter 5, verses 35, it says, while he was still speaking, while Jesus was still speaking to the woman with the issue of blood and resolving her healing, it says that some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And the Bible says in verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And if we look at Luke's account in Luke 8:49, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered and said to him, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." We all have, I think, many of us have well-meaning messengers in our lives. And Jairus had some well-meaning messengers who brought him information and interpretation and prompted for Jairus what I will call the question of the hour. Why bother Jesus? Why extend your faith any further? I want to caution you about receiving information and also receiving interpretation with the information. I thank God for the people in my life who will give me clarity on what's happening in a particular moment in time. But don't necessarily give me the interpretation of the information that you're bringing to me. Okay, you saw that I have cancer. Do not prophesy to me how long I have left to live. Okay, you say that I have a bill due. That's fine. But do not interpret for me whether or not I have within my supernatural ability to cover the cost. Yes, you say to me that this relationship is over, but do not predict for me how the rest of my relationships will go. Yes, I see the grade that I've gotten on this assignment and in this class, but do not try to dictate for me the whole course of the rest of my career. I'm okay with brothers and sisters prophesying, but do not prophesy what God has not told you. Give me the information, but allow the interpretation to be up to God. And Jairus was in this situation where well-meaning people came to his house and they gave him the reality of the situation. Jairus, your daughter is dead. And they asked the question, why bother the teacher any further? Why trouble the teacher? And in one account, they said, don't trouble the teacher any further. But what I love about Jesus is that Jesus interrupts the thought process, not of the messengers, but of Jairus with whom he is walking. And speaking to Jairus, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, believe." What I want to say to the question of why bother is do not confuse the journey with the destination. You might be on a destination trip right now, but you're in the journey part of where you are heading. Don't look at what's going on around you and just conclude that this must be it. God wants you to know that you should not be afraid, only believe in him. Why bother? Because God is not finished. This is not the end. I am reminded of a time in my life in college where my father was getting into some trouble, and I was very concerned because I had worked so hard to build up my relationship with him, and now he was being taken away from me, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And my grandmother, I was home a few days from college, and my grandmother came over to me into my house, and yesterday she celebrated her 89th birthday, and so she was in her 70s then, and she came over to my house. And she said, "Orlando, I don't know how you're feeling right now, but I just want to let you know what Romans 8:28 says. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." My grandmother told me this scripture, and some 18 years later, I want to testify to you that God is still working it out for my good. That God is a faithful God. To answer the question, why bother? Because God is still working it out. He is a faithful God. He is not a man that he should lie. And he is not the son of man that he needs to repent. But if he said it, he will do it. His mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness is great. And even though you might be in the midnight hour, joy will come in the morning light. So to answer the question, why bother? It's because God is still good, because God is not finished, and even though you are in your journey, you are not at your destination. I agree with the psalmist Marvin Sapp, who said these words, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you were the one I held on to, and I never would have made it. I never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me. And I just want to pause and invite you to listen to something for 5 minutes, because I want for us to start to put together our pandemic praise. Mm. Our pandemic praise. This was a recording that some sisters made, and they are still in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, this cultural pandemic, this hatred pandemic, this economic pandemic, but they ministered this song, and I want to encourage you to begin to get your praise together for what God is doing in your life. So just hold on one moment as we go to this song. And it's the sisters who are singing, Never Would Have Made It. What do I do? What you do is that you lean into your faith, which means you walk with Jesus. You memorize and recite his promises. You renew your mind with scripture to strengthen your spiritual core. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank you. Family, when you think about how you're going to not just have that pandemic praise, which you will save to later. And I know I cut it a little bit short. I know that we're over time. But the question is, well, how do I get through this time, whatever might be going on? And that's leaning into your faith, walking with Jesus, memorizing and reciting to him his words back to him. And renewing your mind, because we need to take all the interpretation that we give ourselves or that the world gives us and replace it with what builds our faith. And so I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to come forward and lead us in our closing song, We've Come This Far by Faith. And that is our marching order. That's the reflection of what we're doing and where we're going and how we are getting there. We are coming this far by faith. And I'll ask Lady Rochelle to come forward and just lead us in our closing.
Amen. And I've said this before about this song and about our God. You know, the song is written in the past tense, because it is a testimony of what God has done. But I am grateful that our God is past and is present and is future. And so even as we sing that we have come this far by faith, we are coming far by faith, and we will come, or will go, I guess is more accurate, far by our faith in him and where he wants to take us.
We've come this trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. We've come this far by faith.
We're so thankful again to be with you today, and we thank God for His hand upon your life and our life. And God, we thank you and we pray, and I pray that you would keep each person, each household, each family under the sound of my voice, and that you would be with them as only you can. God, we thank you that you walk with us in our faith with you, and we thank you that you draw us closer to you. God, I pray that you would keep those who are here as only you can until we meet again. Go before them, prepare the place, prepare where they're going to be. Make the atmosphere conducive for your perfect will to be done. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Family, so great to be with you. I'm going to hang out in the hospitality virtual booth for a little while, but God bless you and God go forward with you this week. We love you all. Bye.